Yes, welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your Thursday night freak show, the Dark Mark Show. Josie, you want to say, this is my co-host Josie Cat. I am Mark, Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Josie, you want to say hello to the dark minions out there?
Hello, dark minions.
It's Superstar Thursday tonight. We have two legends, two superstars. One's on their way. One is in the studio. If you know goth or alternative music in the last, 30 years, you know this man. He was the bass player for Bauhaus. He was a bass player and singer for Bauhaus as well, but also for Love and Rockets. And he has a great new album that just came out, just dropped, I think, An Eclipse of Ships. I'm honored to have him. I've been trying to have him on since I started my show. Here he is, David J.
Hello.
Hello, David. Yes, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You've been pestering me for a very long time.
I have been pestering you for a very long time.
It finally
worked.
Finally caved in.
And for those of you who are expecting to masturbate to Sasha Grey, she is on her way, so please get the lube in check. Josie Cat's here if you want to rub one out. But I just want to let you know before we start.
I'm regretting this already.
Before we start, it was your idea to get Sasha on the show. Look at Josie. Look at that dress. Do you really regret it?
I can't look. It's like looking into the sun. You can't.
He refuses to look at me.
Talk about an eclipse of ships. Hello. I wanted to let you know, this is just a couple brief announcements. I'm doing my one-man show, I Laughed So Hard I Cried. If you're in L.A., 6476, on Friday the 13th, it's part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
How fun.
Yes, at the Complex Theaters. Right next to the Dragonfly. And let me know when she arrives.
She's here, but the door's locked.
Can somebody get Sasha downstairs, please? I'm sorry, Jeremy, please. That's the owner of Skid Row Studios. He's never here. He hasn't been here since February. Tonight he's here.
All these people are mysteriously here.
Friday the 13th of June, the Complex Theaters. If you go to hollywoodfringe.org, you can get tickets. Here's the deal. Tickets are $12. If you order on hollywoodfringe.org and put the coupon code GOTH, G-O-T-H, you get tickets for $5. What a deal. It's Josie Cat's birthday next week. Please announce your show.
Yes. I'll be playing with Carrera, and we also have Rebel Hotel, Hot Rock Band, and House of Broken Promises before they leave on their Europe tour. They're going to be playing in front of, 40,000 people at these crazy festivals, and they're gonna hit the stage.
You're
with
saying
us.
That like that impresses David J, who's performed in every festival and every venue around the world. He went to Coachella.
I know all the stuff he's done. It's not impressive for him.
valid information.
And we're gonna have my friend Jessica's gonna do some burlesque, and Jesse Camp has resurfaced from MTV.
You remember Jesse Camp from MTV, David?
Yes.
Yeah, the wacky kid.
Wow. He was a force of nature. Yes,
he's going to be hosting my birthday party, so it should be fun. And before my birthday, I'm going to be in Vegas at the Billboard Awards.
Okay, enough of you. David J is here.
So it's going to be a week.
David J is here.
We're kicking it off great right now. This is the beginning of it.
Happy birthday, Joe. So you get to sit next to David J and pretty soon Sasha Grey. David J, you are a legend. If people don't know, I'm going to bring him up to speed. Because I really am curious. First off, are you a vampire?
Only in the movies.
Because the reason I ask that, you don't age. You do not age. If anybody if anybody looks up Bauhaus videos from the 70s, Love and Rockets videos from the 80s and 90s, you look exactly the same. The same glasses, the same haircut, the same build.
Oh, I put on a few pounds since 1981, I assure you.
Where?
Oh.
Where it counts. But
I'm not going there.
Okay, if you are anybody here, you're responsible for every 14-year-old rebelling against their mother, going to Hot Topic, dressing like a witch. Here's probably one right here. Hello. Hi, Sasha. You heard that? Am I right?
Welcome. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Josie.
Sasha, Josie, Sasha. I'm Dark Mark. I'm so honored that you come on the show. I'm so honored that David J, after pestering him for a year, decided to come on the show. I'm such a fan. Some dudes with you. Nice to see you. Just go ahead and slink in the corner. It's okay. David, I was talking about David J. Now, The thing about Sasha Grey that I got to be honest with you. David J said, "Hey, I'll come on the show. Sasha Grey might come on. Is that cool?" I got to be honest. I didn't catch the name. I've heard of you. I saw the Girlfriend Experience. But I must be the only person in the world that's never seen your adult movies.
No, there's a few.
I'm let's say I'm the only one over the age of 18 that hasn't seen your adult movies. I'm certainly the only one in L.A. See this guy right here that's pointing the camera at you?
Yes.
Very carefully. He owns Skid Row Studios. He hasn't come into a show of ours since February. He's here tonight. When I said David J was coming in,
I said everyone's mysteriously going to show up.
Yeah, when I said David J's coming out, he's like, that's cool. And then when I said, oh, Sasha Grey's coming on, he's like, I'm there. So I didn't know who you were, so I apologize. But I've caught up in the last week. I've did a lot of research.
I'm sure you have.
Very exhausting. Josie will tell you the exhausting research I do on my
dehydrated.
Were
I do on my female.
In your research? No, on his own. Not
right. I don't know what's wrong with your mic, Josie.
Who you are.
Josie, your mic's very low.
Oh.
Okay, I think they fixed it. Anyway, we were talking about, and Sasha, I'm going to get to you because you're fascinating to me. You're fascinating to me, and I've never seen any of your phone or movies. I have masturbated to you, but I have not seen any of your adult movies. So
interesting.
But David J is a legend, and I wanted to start off with him. But Bauhaus, the first goth. People say Bela Lugosi's Dead is the first goth song ever. Would you agree with that?
Well, we didn't perceive it as such because it didn't exist, you know, when we made that record.
Well, that was my point because I mean, you guys.
It was a little seed there, little bad seed.
Because that was what, 1979?
Yeah.
So everybody's rewriting Disco Inferno, like More Than the Feeling, and you're like, Bela Lugosi's Dead. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, we did take on board disco, though. If you listen closely, it's sort of like twisted disco.
He's right. I was listening to Stigmata Martyr. That's a funky bass line.
Yeah, and Kick in the Eye.
Kick in the Eye is very funky. But yeah,
Fear. It was sort of... Because it was in the air, so it was all up for grabs, but we took that and made it sort of ironic. And
so how do you invent a genre out of nothing?
You don't think about it. I mean, we didn't intend to.
And did you write Bela Lugosi's Dead? Because there seems to be some debate.
I wrote the lyrics and the bass line, of course.
I think Peter Murphy says he wrote the lyrics, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't. I mean, he sang the lyrics with some aplomb, you know.
And I'm not discounting his contribution to that song. I mean, the song, if you want to talk about a band where all four people are really contributing to the song, that drum crack thing is amazing. And then you get the doom bass, and then the guitar just, they're like cracking around. And then his voice comes out. It's an amazing song.
Thank you, yeah.
And I mean, the lyrics are good too.
It has
it's amazing.
It has a lot of dub in it. We were influenced by dub.
Very reggae. Yeah, now I got to listen to it again. There is a reggae feel. And you did a cover of your own song with Jill Tracy, who I love, who I met at the Eccentric Festival in North Carolina a few
years
ago.
Jill's great, yes.
And so that was. And
she initiated that with her idea of doing this sort of classical kind of avant garde take on it.
As she does.
Yeah, and played piano beautifully on that.
It was great. So take me back to the goth scene in 77 or 79, 80. Like, I mean...
It didn't really exist. I mean, it wasn't...
Not that I was
It
there.
Wasn't named, you
so,
know?
So there was no Hot Topic, there was no, like, Manic Panic.
No, and it was very individualistic. And it was coming out of punk, it was post-punk. And all those bands were either in punk bands or they were very influenced by that. And that was the attitude. But it was sort of just...
Everything was punk.
Right. So you got punk groupies or hippies or...
There weren't really any punk groupies because it was a strange mindset in those days because it was hard to be romantic.
Didn't you see Velvet Goldmine?
Cynical, very cynical.
Well,
you know.
Apparently, according to Velvet Goldmine, if you're gay, it's easy to be romantic in those days. I don't know if I recall that movie.
Yeah, but that was an earlier time.
Yes. That was Velvet Goldmine is glam. That's before their time.
Yeah.
And you were influenced by glam, too.
Glam was very, very crucial. Also, all those bands, they were like 13 and 14 when glam first happened. Mm-hmm. Mark Bolan, T-Rex, Bowie, right. Roxy Music, and we're very influenced by that. That was sure. really our first music that made a huge impression. Because right. you know, when you're 14, that's when you're like a little sponge and you're soaking.
I was good friends with Arthur Kane from the New York Dolls, and we used to have conversations with him. And he's
a name dropper.
He said, "Well, do you want to hear this or not?"
No.
He said,
no,
that
"The
New York Dolls."
Yeah, I know who he is.
Are the ones who started it all.
They were really influential.
He yeah. did. He
they
told me that
on
straight
British
up.
TV.
He said that Kiss copied them and ripped them off.
And,
every
and Kiss
which way.
Says they copied them, and you know, I'm sure they were all swapping makeup in some trailer somewhere, right?
But also know. They led into punk.
Right, they led.
The
they led
were
into
very
punk, and then
influential on punk.
So when you saw like the bands that came after, like Sisters of Mercy and these other bands, and they were kind of in some ways copying what you guys were doing. I've heard that, I don't know about you, but I've heard that other members of Bauhaus don't like the goth label. I referred to you as a goth legend on the post. Are you okay with
that? It's just a bit restricting, you know.
Yeah.
You've done other things, obviously.
I agree.
Right. Bauhaus, we preceded goth and we transcended it.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other question I have about Bauhaus. And, The rumor is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the initial breakup in 82, 83, whenever it was, they say the breakup was because you guys did Bela Lugosi's Dead in The Hunger. And the three of you guys were pissed off because they did close-ups of Peter Murphy the whole time. Is there any truth to that?
That has nothing to do with the breakup.
I read that in the Goth Bible. There's a book called The Goth Bible that says that.
Then it must be true.
You know the Bible is all fiction.
And the Bible is.
Sasha Grey said that.
I thought you read it in The Star.
Yeah. The Star does stories on Bauhaus in 2014 all the time.
That was my point.
Yes.
But Daniel, myself, and Kevin did go to see The Hunger in the cinema when it came out. We didn't go to the premiere or anything like that. We just went to the ordinary cinema.
Right.
And on the way to the cinema, we were joking, saying, oh, well, sort of semi joking, but quite serious. Oh, I bet, you know, we'll see this on screen. It'll be Murphy, and the rest of us won't get a look in, you know.
Yeah, there's a couple flashes, but
sure enough. I think you see the end of my guitar at one point.
But the three of you didn't storm out and say, "That's it, fuck the band, we're out."
No, we thought it was amusing. It was a little bit of a wind up, but it was amusing.
So what did break you up?
It was a very. Very
Sasha Grey? I think she wasn't even born then.
Well, stop.
She's laughing like she did it.
Very volatile chemistry, that band. Lots of sparks in the test tube there. Lots of sulfurous stuff spilling over the top and explosions going off. And you can't really sort of contain that.
But that in some ways that helps make the band great.
Yeah.
And then
definitely, lots of friction.
And last Bauhaus question, and then I'm going to get to Sasha, and then I'm going to talk about Love and Rocks, and then I'm going to talk about this new album. I'm going to talk about your book. I'm going to talk about all sorts of stuff in 41 minutes.
Okay.
Peter Murphy just did a tour where he did all Bauhaus songs, and he called the tour Mr. Moonlight Tour.
Yes.
Mr. Moonlight is a song Mr. Moonlight is a song that you sang.
Yeah.
And wrote, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I pretty much wrote that one.
Who killed
Mr. Moonlight?
Who killed Mr. Moonlight? What'd you think of that? Come on, Skid Row Studios. Nobody's listening.
I understand. Sure.
If it was Adam Carolla, I could say, I'm not going to say it. It's my show. You can say it.
I understand where Peter was coming from with that, because his interpretation of Mr. Moonlight was that it came to represent the band and a sort of... pervasive character that the four of us created that was sort of like a separate entity, and that was Mr. Moonlight. And,
right.
And it was sort of like the sort of melancholy, romantic side of the band.
Right, right.
So that's his association. So I think that's where he was coming from when he named his tour.
But when you saw the name of the tour, you got to be like, what the fuck?
But he was also adopting
that's
it.
Yes.
He was adopting it as as a character.
Right.
That he was assuming the character of Mr. Moonlight.
Because you sang Mr. Moonlight on his live album.
I did I joined him. He did a show here at the El Rey. And I joined him for a couple of songs and sang that. Yeah.
Because I saw that tour in New York. That was a great tour.
That was a good night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, he's Hey, I'm Mr. Moonlight, not David J.
Yeah, it is. I must say, it is very odd that on that tour he was going out and claiming, no, he was claiming that the band that was backing him was the real Bauhaus, and he actually said that. I mean, repeatedly.
Was he really?
Yes, this is the real band, you know.
Oh, that's that.
It's
that,
a bit strange.
That you had
a little bit delusional.
Do you guys keep in touch?
Only through our lawyer.
although I will tell you, in happier days, Sasha, I went to a Peter Murphy show in 2005, and I was so thrilled that I saw David Jay in the audience. You were at that show?
No,
I was down the front. I was down the front heckling.
No, you were in the balcony.
I was heckling from the balcony. All right.
Okay. Yeah, but I was like telling my girlfriend at the time who was getting into those type of things. One more Bauhaus question, because this pertains to that. I'm gonna get to you, Sasha. The song Spirits. No, Sasha, maybe you can agree with this because you're a DJ. You know the song by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, the big hit. What was it called?
Yes.
Maps.
Yes.
The guitar, and I know that Daniel Ash played guitar, but the guitar riff in Maps is the exact same guitar riff as Bauhaus Spirit. Am I right?
I've never thought about that, but
I'm gonna have to listen.
Yeah, I did meet the guitarist Nick, right, from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and he told me that Daniel was his biggest influence.
Well, there you have it.
Because that's how I got my girlfriend at the Bauhaus. I'm like, you gotta listen to this, and she's like, that's the same fucking guitar riff. So everybody's gonna be listening.
Also, Jamie from the Kills told me the same thing as well. Daniel's his biggest guitar influence,
right? And Josie had a bad experience with Daniel Ash, so we don't want to talk about him. But we're gonna talk about Love Rogers. Let's go back. Let's talk about Sasha Grey, because everybody, when I announced that Sasha Grey was gonna be on the show, people went fucking nuts. I had no idea what a big star you are. I saw the girlfriend experience. I saw a Girlfriend Experience, which apparently is not the easiest movie of yours to jerk off to, but it's possible. It's possible. Trust me.
Do you like melancholy?
I actually do. So yes, it is possible. But what fascinates me about you, because I've never seen any of your adult movies. I've heard things. I've heard, you know, oh, crazy, wild. That doesn't. I mean, I'm not. I don't give a shit about the minutiae of triple penetration or how do you suck a dick or whatever. You, if people don't know who Sasha Grey is, you. Started porn when you were 18, is that correct?
Yes.
And by 21, you were the biggest star in porn.
And then I quit.
How do you do that? How did you conquer that industry?
I guess it's sort of like not realizing you're going out to make a goth record. Mm-hmm.
Can you scoot the mic up a little bit? Yeah.
I had, it was something I knew I wanted to do, and I spent 7-8 months researching the business and...
Oh, you did?
And gathering contacts and getting in touch with girls via MySpace. This is when MySpace was still around. Kind of figuring out what that life would be like. And I saved up over $7,500. And a month after my 18th birthday, I moved to LA. Found a pool house in North Hollywood. No air conditioner.
They can be found.
Yeah, I came out here and, you know, at that age, you can't even get an apartment because you have no credit history. All these things. And I didn't really have anybody that would support me and like co-sign a lease with me. So I just came out here and pretty much everything that could go wrong went wrong on my way down here. I couldn't find the address or I couldn't find the actual location to my new home. My U-Haul broke down on the 5, like with all the big rigs next to me. Everything that could go wrong.
Where did you move from?
Sacramento.
Okay.
So not too far. It's not like I'm from the Midwest and I hopped on a Greyhound, which I think that's a cliche anyways.
Right.
So I was very focused and very determined, and I knew I wanted to change the way women were perceived.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to challenge the way that a performer should perform.
Right.
And I knew I wanted to bring... my own ideas on performance and but for me, porn was art.
Yeah.
And that's a debatable subject and it will be forever.
Right.
But that's how I approached every day. And every day I gave myself a new challenge and a new goal and I didn't party. So, I mean, I think those...
Well, people would say porno movies are parties, but... I don't. You tell me.
That's the fantasy that keeps the industry thriving, I guess.
So, I didn't want to get into this, but is it so the opposite on a porn set?
It's normal. It's like a normal movie set, except there's sex and people.
And Ron Jeremy's running around and...
Oh, no, not in my days.
Oh, okay. You skipped that, right over that.
No, he's, she got lucky.
He's not performing anymore.
He does, like, stand-in and comedy roles.
Okay. I don't know. Josie was in a movie with Ron Jeremy. I wasn't. But no, it wasn't that movie. She was in, because here's the thing.
My first movie was with a legend, and that was pretty cool, with Rocco Siffredi. So that was kind of awesome.
You
don't know who that is, but
I don't watch porn. Okay. I masturbate to other things. I masturbate to Lifetime movies and things. Speaking of masturbation, I did want to mention we're sponsored by Audible.com. And we've been sponsored by Audible.com since February. And this is the first time we've had an author that's been on Audible.com that's been on the show. Sasha Gray's novel, erotic novel, Unabridged, 8 hours and 16 minutes, written and narrated by Sasha Gray, is on Audible.com right now.
Yes.
You can get it for
What's
free.
What's it about?
Can I do the rest of the plug, Josie? If you go to darkmarkshow.com, click on the Audible.com website. Click on the Audible.com website. You can get this book for free and get a free 30-day free trial at Audible. I'm trying to get paid, Josie. I get a free 30-day Audible trial at Audible.com, or you go to audibletrial.com/darkmarkshow. Josie, ask your question.
Yeah. So what's the book about?
The book is about a young film student named Catherine who is in a seemingly perfect relationship with a man named Jack. They have a lot of love and respect for each other. And one day in film class, she sees Belle de Jour for the first time. And she starts to have different feelings and interests in her sexuality, things she didn't know that existed within inside of her being and inside of her core before. And so this kind of propels her into this world of fantasy where she's having a hard time delineating what's real and what's pure fantasy. So she meets this young woman named Anna in her class who befriends her, and they become best friends. And Anna is very unabashed and free-spirited, and Catherine wants to be that. And so she sees herself in Anna, and Anna pulls her into a secret society called the Juliet Society. And all the while, her and her boyfriend kind of separate because the more her sexuality grows, the more confused he becomes. So he wants to take a break, and she moves on from him. And
sounds like a typical weekend for Josie, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But this is your second book.
So does it get very saucy?
It does, but I was inspired by a lot of classic erotica. So
is that what you want to do, write more erotic books?
I do, actually. I'm working on the sequel now. I'm trying to sell the second and third as a package because it's always harder,
Ryan,
you know, to sell the second and third.
Do you see any of them as films?
I sold the rights, or not the rights, the option. I optioned it to Fox. Last year, a little over a year ago.
Nice.
But, would you play a role in that movie?
No, but the rights are up tomorrow, actually. So
You better snap it up, people. People in Hollywood, all you Hollywood brokers listening to this show.
It's for me, it's not my main concern. If the film gets, or if it gets optioned as a film and it gets made into a film or TV series, that's like the cherry on top. But one of the main reasons I wrote this book is actually because I was trying to get screenplays sold, and I went to Cannes 2 years ago, Cannes Film Festival in France, and like I spent my own money. I got myself there.
Right.
I was trying to be a businesswoman. You know, I wasn't there because I had a film that I was premiering, and it was like a giant party, and I was kind of let down. And this wasn't the first time I had tried something like that, just so to be clear. Like I had been trying for many, many years to pitch screenplays, either to just sell flat out or to get made into films. Mm-hmm. And after that experience, I was kind of let down, and I decided, well, if nobody gives a shit about my scripts, what else can I do? And because erotic novels are at the forefront of our culture right now and the forefront of pop culture,
Fifty Shades of Grey. Yeah,
it was pretty obvious. And I said, well, I should take a stab at this and do something different, something that fits me and that I identify with and that I can relate to.
And there was no ghostwriter. You wrote it yourself.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. I can't wait to listen to it.
Were you a smarty pants in high school?
I was kind of strange. I always did very well in school. I was always at the top of my class. I graduated a year early. But there became a point probably when I was around 14 or 15, because I was also really athletic when I was younger. And I just became really nihilistic. And I got very angry at the system. I grew up in Sacramento. I became sort of a stoner, which is I wish I could be a stoner still, but
everybody in this room and the booth is nodding. Like, we understand. We know. Nihilistic stoner. We got it. We understand.
And it was like it was a short period of my life, and it was kind of great, I guess, because I was never in a clique. I was friends with everybody because I got along with everybody. I didn't really give a shit about their concerns or what they were into or what drama they were having.
You're a fan of goth and industrial music, so you went through that pace too, right?
Yeah.
Because I heard that Sasha is from Sasha from KMFDM,
right?
It is,
yes.
And by the way, the remix that you did for KMFDM Light a few years ago, I thought it was great.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if you heard that. That was good. Speaking of books, I wanted to say, and I'm going to get back to David Jay, because we got Love and Rockets. We got his new album. It's great, An Eclipse of Ships. Not since George Bush read to kids on 9/11 has there been a scandal for somebody reading to kids. What happened, Sasha? I keep hearing about this. I don't know all the details.
You know what? I think enough time has passed where I can actually tell the story of what really happened.
It's a Dark Mark Show exclusive.
I volunteered my time to read to children in an inner city school district in Compton.
Right.
And I love reading. I'm very passionate about reading. And, I slowly try and look at what charitable contributions I can be a part of. And so to me, this was an obvious one. And they invited me to their program.
Yes.
I spent the afternoon reading to these kids. Everything was great. I spoke to the principal. We talked about Pride and Prejudice. It was wonderful.
I mean, did they know that you were?
Yeah, they know exactly who I was. Okay. But it wasn't like, hey, children, here's a porn star.
No, but what I was saying, but did they know that? I mean, is it like just anybody could do this, or you were doing that? I mean, they knew who you
invite,
were.
They invite personalities and celebrities, actors, athletes to do this sort of thing.
Okay.
And I had just, this was like 2011, I think?
This is Entourage
2011,
sort of.
Yeah. So it was like within a year of doing Entourage and a few other small indie films, and I was DJing a lot. So I was invited, and I was presented as an actress.
Right.
And, it went well. The teachers knew who I was. The principal knew who I was.
I'll bet they did.
So it was some stuffy parent or something?
Actually, not even. I have somebody that has been harassing me for several years now, and this individual doesn't even live in California.
It's not David Jay, is it?
He lives in California.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's
Peter Murphy. We know.
This person contacted the school district and said that I was spreading child pornography I was promoting.
Like you were giving out videos to the kids.
And that I was promoting AIDS and other STDs. And
who would promote that?
It was really ridiculous.
This wasn't Donald Sterling, was it?
But that's the short version of the story. And so, of course, he contacted as many parents as he could. He contacted not only the principal, but the entire school district. And he contacted TMZ directly. I still have all the emails.
Oh, so that's how it broke was TMZ.
Yeah. TMZ called me and said, do you want to give a quote? Because we're going to go with the story either way.
Right.
So I said, okay, here's my quote.
What was the quote?
I don't remember. But basically, I believe everybody's entitled to have the opportunity
fundamental.
Reading is fundamental. Exactly. But it was a really strange event, and I don't know how many, over a couple hundred requests to do interviews and television, and that's not why I did that. It wasn't like I was trying to get some crazy press out of this because I thought it was cool and scandalous. It wasn't even my idea at all, so I did one interview, and that was it, because that wasn't my intention.
So all you haters, take it from me and Bark Mark, and fuck off, all right? She did something nice. She read to the kids. That's all you need to know.
Exactly. Right.
You don't want her to read to the kids. Don't invite her to read to the kids. How about that? Exactly. Who's reading to kids in Compton anyway?
Exactly.
Exactly. David Jay's not reading to kids in Compton, but he would if he was asked. David Jay, Love and Rockets. Big fan of Love and Rockets. Before I was goth.
New music class.
Before I was goth, I was into Love and Rockets. Specifically because I heard No New Tale to Tell on the radio, your lead vocal. I was like, that's
no,
great.
No, that's not me. That's Daniel.
No New Tale to Tell's not you?
Oh, No New Tale. Sorry. You're right.
Right, no new tale to tell. I saw the video.
Because
you have a deeper voice than Daniel. Yeah, it cannot go against nature. That's you.
Yeah, you're right. Yes,
I stand corrected.
I was just testing you there.
Exactly.
Just to make sure.
You meant to do that.
Keeping you on your toes.
Yeah,
you
I'm on my toes. Yes. Now Sasha Gray's not keeping me on my toes. It's David James keeping me on my toes. I heard that in the mid-80s, everybody was going their own way. Tones on Tail, Peter Murphy, you were doing your own thing. Everybody was, in the mid-80s, they were like, you guys were going to have a Bauhaus reunion. And you guys all met in the studio, and Peter didn't show up. And that's how Love and Rockets was born. Is there any truth
to
that?
You know what? I got the lowdown on this 4 days ago from Daniel. Because I've heard that story time and time again, and I was certainly never asked if I wanted to like go and meet up with Peter and get the Bauhaus back together.
Right.
And I had no interest in doing that. And at the time, I was under the impression that Daniel and Kevin were of the same opinion. But I was surprised to hear from Daniel, because I asked him directly, you know, what actually happened here? Did you have a meeting with Peter and try to reform Bauhaus? And he said, yes, we did.
But we didn't tell you.
No, I didn't. And, Peter wasn't interested. So, but they came to me and said, we want to make a new band and we'd like you to be the bass player. Because Danny had had a bit of a falling out with Glenn Campling, who was the other guy. He was the bass player.
Tones on Tail.
And Tones on Tail.
Right.
So they wanted to do something fresh. And I said, yeah, okay, that sounds good, yeah.
And it's amazing because I was trying to think, except for New Order, I'm trying to think of another band where the lead singer leaves. Now, like, there's AC/DC and other bands where they change the lead singers. But there's only you and New Order, the only bands I can think of, where they just, the lead singer left and the rest of the band carried on and was more successful. As successful. Yeah. Mm. More successful in America, certainly.
It's quite a good parallel there. Mm-hmm. And because Joy Division became this legendary underground phenomenon.
Right.
And Bauhaus, to a degree, have that same.
So when you guys were Love and Rockets in the late 80s, early 90s, and you guys were big, you were a juggernaut, and you were bigger than Peter Murphy, and you were bigger than Bauhaus ever was, especially in the States, were you just like, I mean, Bauhaus wasn't, you weren't even thinking about that, right? You were like,
no.
Yeah, you were like, and you know, were you calling up Peter and like, eh, my song's number one, you know, that kind of thing? Or you guys,
No, you just
did your thing, he did his thing.
Yeah, we were having a great time doing that.
Right. And then you got, and Love and Rockets, obviously, you know, there's goth influences, but you weren't really goth. I mean,
it was more psychedelic.
Psychedelic, but there's folk, there's dance, there's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because I posted, you know, your last album, Lift. I like all your albums, and they're all completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But Lift, where you R.I.P. 20C, and I remember I was at Goth Fest 2007. I was dancing with this girl. She kept doing splits to that one. That's a good dance song. And that was your lead vocal, too. I'm choosing your lead vocals carefully.
Daniel was doing splits in the studio when we recorded that, so that's interesting.
Was he really?
Yeah, he had to be physically restrained.
Well, I'll tell you a story. This is the Josie story. I'll do it really brief, and then we're gonna play your songs. Last year, Daniel Ash had an art exhibit downtown at a gallery that Josie knows the owner, and she said, "Come on down, we'll try to get Daniel Ash on the show." So I went down there, and they had this, and he was supposed to be DJing that event. And there's a guy that's DJing that doesn't look anything like Daniel Ash. She says, "That's Daniel Ash. Go ahead and ask him to be on the show." I'm like, the guy looks like he's 30. He doesn't look like Daniel Ash at all. He's like, "That's Daniel Ash. Go up to him." And I went up to him. Like, I was just trying to be like coy. I'm like, "Hey, you know, there's some cool art here." And he's like, "Yeah, I really want to buy that one." I'm like, "Didn't you paint these fucking things?" And she's, I'm like, "That's not Daniel Ash." And then later in the evening, Daniel Ash was apparently a little curt to you. And I said, "Well, I've already been in talks with David J." And you're like, get David J. Am I correct, Josie?
So I was your second choice.
No, you were my first choice. I contacted you before him. But Josie's like, "Oh, I can seduce Daniel Ash into coming in the show." And
I didn't say that.
You didn't say seduce, but I'm trying to make it entertaining for the audience.
Jeez. Make me look like a douchebag.
No, but trust
in the meantime.
Douchebags and address are very sexy. I'm going to play. This is is this the first single of the hotel?
Hot Sheet Hotel.
Hot Sheet Hotel. Is this like the first song, the first single?
No, it's not. It's not really a single. I was at Amoeba today. I did one of those What's in My Bag.
Right.
Yeah.
Clips, you know, which is real fun. And we were talking about singles. They were asking, you know, what's the next single? And I said, well, I've got something in mind, but, you know, what is a single? What does that mean? It used to mean something. Mm-hmm. That used to really mean something.
And I guess the single is the video Toxic that you two did together, cover of Britney Spears.
That was sort of an aside, and that was, we can talk about how that came to be, but that was never, that's not really on the album, and it was just something that was done earlier, but it
happened to finish around the same time.
Finally, yes, yeah. It took a long time, and then I thought, well, that could work as this sort of like extra track. Anyway, singles, what is a single?
I mean, this could be, but
a featured track.
So, Eclipse of Ships is a lot of songs about a lot of different women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good listen. You got to listen to it a few times. There's some really good songs on there. One of them is inspired by an adult film star. On your website, it says,
mm-hmm.
"Is this the adult film star that inspired that song?"
No.
And here's my confusion. These are all moments that you've had with other women, but you're married.
That is right.
There's life before marriage.
Is this all before, during, after marriage? I'm trying to
figure
out.
Certainly during, you know.
Okay, so Hachi Hotel, who inspired this song?
Oh, that one is nobody in particular. And that's quite an old song, one that I've been tweaking every now and again.
Right.
That was like 2000. That's the only old song on the record. And I just had it on the shelf and I thought, that fits, you know. Fits the theme.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Hachi Hotel. Let's see what's going on.
Let's
check in
for an hour, or 3 minutes.
Sasha, can I have this dance?
Oh no!
By the hour in the theater of alibis, where incognito is the room, guests arrive in disguise. The cheap patio furniture is chained to the floor.
I have a song almost the most quiet.
A disturbed sound swings from every door. Hot Sheet Hotel, Hot Sheet Hotel, Hot Sheet Hotel, Hot Sheet Hotel. A traveling Lothario with Visa cards and Viagra, libidinous scenarios and the barrels shoot Niagara. Squeaky springs and shower curtain rings, broken and in disarray. Sticky paws and herpes sores, souvenirs of your stay. Hot Sheet Hotel, Hot Sheet Hotel, Hot Sheet Hotel, Hot Sheet Hotel. Back in suburban condos, wives on Prozac dream, seeking retribution through an out-of-court settlement scheme.
That's most of Hot Sheet Hotel.
You checked out early.
I checked out early, but you got to check out the early album. I love the album. But I did want to talk about, first off, Sasha, I'm sure you've heard this before. And don't take this the wrong way. And you're a wonderful dancer.
No, I'm not.
You're a DJ. How could you not be a good dancer?
Bullshit. But,
okay. You don't look like a porn star. You don't look like those blonde hair, orange skin, Franken porn stars. You look like a fairy tale princess, quite honestly.
Thanks.
Yes. First off, you're pretty pale, which I like.
But I also think that maybe when I first started, the image of women in the industry really started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it started even a few years before that, but because of the internet, pretty much anything and anybody's fantasy is there and it readily available.
Right.
Do you think Suicide Girls influenced that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were the first really to say, we don't we want to be different, and we are different, and we're proud of being different.
So Joanna Angel.
Joanna Angel, for sure, yeah.
But do you have tattoos? I'm sure everybody in the audience knows besides myself, but do you?
Nope.
Okay. And why not? It's, I mean, I don't either, but, you know, why mess with a good thing?
I don't know. Yeah? I just never really wanted it. I guess I flirted with the idea at like 16, 17. And
when you were a nihilist. It's probably a good thing you didn't
get. She was listening to Bauhaus and being a nihilist.
I never quit being a nihilist.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad my parents didn't let me do that.
Right.
You didn't have nihilist tattooed across your forehead.
I did once for Halloween.
Is it really?
No.
Okay. What was your best Halloween costume?
Linda Blair from the Reagan from The Exorcist.
Right, with all
do
the makeup.
Do you like to go sexy or scary?
Scary. My mother had this old white nightgown.
Right.
That she kept around even though she didn't wear it anymore. You know, similar enough. And then I teased and lightened my hair with gold spray because it's the only spray I could find. But
right.
It looked blonde.
Right.
It worked. And I just smeared my face with green face paint and gave myself cut marks. I mean, not real ones.
Nice.
Ones. And I took a can of split pea soup and like threw it on myself.
Oh, that's great.
That was fun. That's probably the best.
Now, what's amazing, and this is what... This
oh, no, wait, I lied. It was Andy Warhol last year, and it was...
Oh,
and
what a segue.
I know that's an easy one, but the reason it was fun is because my boyfriend was with me, and he was a Polaroid.
Right.
So it was pretty cool.
That guy?
Like, yeah, alone it wouldn't be cool, like Andy Warhol, because I actually saw two other Andy Warhols, but... Together, it was cool.
Well, that sort of works with the multiples, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite a segue because I have gifts for both of you from our other sponsor, DammitTees.com. And if you go to DammitTees.com, you can get 10% off if you put the Dark Mark Show as a coupon code or mention that you heard us on the Dark Mark Show. You get 10% off any purchase. They got great shirts. Actually, Dave went to the website. Do they have great shirts or what?
Yeah. Like
Pong car, crazy
impressive.
Shirt.
Yeah.
And... For both of you, because David J. did a play about Edie Sedgwick, and you dressed up as Andy Warhol.
Mm. Yeah. I love Edie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dark Mark.
And please, tell me what was so bewitching of... That might be a little small on you, David. There's
that's
a small
girls.
One. That's a girl. I got you a girl's shirt. I'm so sorry.
Is there a girl as well?
I think they're both girls.
No,
that's a medium. They're, okay,
they're just like, different. That's a girls.
Yeah, that's bigger.
Okay,
and why are we giving T-shirts away?
That's cool. That it comes in.
Yeah.
You know.
Woo-hoo,
oh,
thank you.
There you go. I like that.
Nice.
Now, why were you inspired to write a play about Edie Sedgwick? That's why.
Well, originally that was just one song,
right?
Called "Girl on Fire." And she's always intrigued me, even like going way, way back when I first saw a picture of her and Andy Warhol and Chuck Wine. They were coming out of Manhole cover.
Yes.
And it was Andy.
So beautiful with those long legs.
Yeah. And it was Andy Warhol was having an exhibition in London. It was 1968, I believe. So I was like 10. And I just was captivated by these strange individuals.
Right.
And then, of course, later on, I got into the Velvet Underground whole factory scene and all of that. So she did hold some fascination for me. And as I say, I came up with a song that was sparked off by reading a screenplay that was never, a film that was never made.
Right.
And called Girl on Fire. And I read that and immediately wrote this lyric. And then my friend, I was actually staying with Shepherd Fairey.
Right.
I was living with him at the time, and he had this screenplay. I said, "What is this?" And he said, "Oh, it's this guy, David Wiseman, gave me it, who was the co-writer." He said, "You should call him up, talk to him. He'll talk your ear off, but he's really fascinating."
Right.
And he made Chow Manhattan with Edie.
Right.
So I called him up, you know, and he did talk my ear off for about 45 minutes, actually longer than that, like 90 minutes. And I told him that I'd written this song inspired by his screenplay, and he said, "Well, I want to hear it. Come round."
Right.
But it was only a lyric at that time, so I thought, I said yes. Okay, yes. Come round tomorrow. So then I had to write the music, but that was not a problem. It just came. And so I played him this song, and he said, "You should extend this." And he said, originally, this screenplay was going to be a stage production or like a cabaret sort of presentation about the life of Edie.
Right.
He said, "I'm never going to write that thing. You write it. You should write it." And so I thought, I don't know, really? yes, you should write it. And I wrote another song. And I thought, okay, something's going on here. And then I wrote another song.
Right.
About the theme. And then I thought, well, I wonder if I can link these with some dramatic content. So I tried, as an experiment, right, just to write a monologue Edie's point of view, talking about her life.
Right.
And it all started to come together and cohese. And I thought, I think I've started writing this play. That's how it happened. And then I wrote more
songs. One step in front of the other, yeah.
Yeah. So it was organic.
I can't, you know, as always on the story, the tide goes by so fast. The girlfriend experience. Now, Steven Soderbergh says, I've read in interviews, that he read an article about you in the LA Times or something, and that's how he...
LA Magazine.
LA Magazine, and then he wrote the movie with you in mind. Is that, or...
No. he and his, and the two guys that wrote the film with him, or more like the outline with him and the story with him, specifically Brian Koppelman, they'd been working on the idea loosely for a few years, and they had actually interviewed other women to be in the film, but they hadn't found the right person yet. And I think he was in the middle of Ocean's 13 or something.
Yeah, people don't know, Steven Soderbergh is the Academy Award-winning filmmaker of Traffic, Aaron Brockovich, the Ocean's movies, all sorts of great movies. And his first big movie was Sex, Lies, and Videotape, which leads me to believe he probably saw one of your movies, and that's why he decided to cast you. Is that
possible? So what happened is Brian Koppelman read this article.
Okay.
And since it was this idea they had already had, he passed it on to Soderbergh, and I said, okay, she seems like maybe she's the right person. She's comfortable with her sexuality, and she's strong and empowered. So Brian contacted me on MySpace. And
you got this movie through MySpace?
Yep.
Wow. MySpace has got to come back. Facebook kind of sucks compared to that.
So that's how it happened. He contacted me and then set up a meeting. I didn't believe it, so I said, have him leave a voicemail for me on my phone.
Yeah.
And I came home one day, and it was a real voicemail, not a cell phone. And
Right.
It was Steven Soderbergh. So we set up a meeting, but we didn't film for another two and a half years. So.
Wow. Did they have you audition, or he just met you?
Were you under contract for that long?
I was never under with them.
Yeah, for the movie?
No, we didn't sign any contracts. No, not at that point. But basically, he told me at that point, because I was only 18 or just barely 19, I don't remember, but I think it was still 18. He said he wanted me to be a little bit older.
So you were just starting out, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is like
how many months after your U-Haul dies on the interstate?
Like 6 months.
Wow.
7 months.
Wow.
So things turned around pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything just kind of went in a forward motion for me from the minute I started. It was really strange.
And how do you meet David Jay? That's what I want to know.
I think
how
that
did
was
you
through
guys
MySpace as well.
What's that?
Wasn't it through MySpace?
It was a coincidence, because you sent me a MySpace friend request.
Yeah. But I met you with Oren.
The same week that I decided that I wanted to contact you to talk to you about playing a part in a film that I was writing a screenplay.
Right.
I'd just written a screenplay.
Right.
And
she's like, David Jay, Steven Soderbergh. David Jay, Steven Soderbergh.
Well, we had, at the time, I was working with Dave Navarro's management company.
Okay, and you've worked with Dave Navarro, David Jay.
And I think that's how the introduction happened. But I sat down with David and Jay and this producer, Oren. Right?
Orion Williams, Orion. Yeah.
How many years ago is this?
Four?
Four?
Okay. We still want to make that movie. One thing I'm learning about writing screenplays is that it takes a hell of a long time to get these things off the ground.
Right.
You have to be really, it's beyond patient. You just don't have to think about it. You have to put it on the back burner of your mind and just sort of have the antennae up so that
it's true.
You're in this town and you're like this contacts and somebody might come into your orbit who could like vibe with this idea. The idea is, I can say what the idea is now, it's about Aleister Crowley.
Okay.
And it's Aleister Crowley seen through the eyes of his scarlet women, and the idea was for Sasha to play one of these women, and I was still, you know, very much like that to happen. You know?
I'd watch that.
It's a very good script.
So, it's called Beast. It's gone through some different titles, but it's Beast. And we're looking for the right director. We've had a few directors sort of come into play, but it hasn't...
Steven Soderbergh, if you're watching the show, you might want to look into this. It's a good project.
I think he's retired, isn't he?
This is the one to come out of retirement for.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
And by the way, Dark Mark would probably be an excellent Aleister Crowley. Now, we have like, I could talk to you guys all day. What gave you the idea to cover Britney Spears' Toxic? And let me tell you something. Music snobs, you can say what you want, but that song gets stuck in your head. There's some craft there.
Mm-hmm.
And your version is terrific. It's very loungy.
Daniel Ash turned me on to the original. We were on tour, and he just said, "Dave, I want to play you something." And just he said, "You're gonna be surprised, but it's Britney Spears." I said, "Really?
You saw the video, right, Josie?"
I did. I loved it. Did you film it in downtown L.A.?
No, it was in Portland.
Portland.
But anyway, Danny played me the original, and I was knocked out by it. And I said, I love that. Play it again." And the production and the song.
And this was happening backstage at a Bauhaus concert.
And this is Love and Rockets.
Oh, Love and Rockets.
When that came out, the time it was out. It just came out, you know.
Oh, okay. So Love and Rockets were still
Daniel was into it, yeah. Anyway, so then years later, I heard it. I was in a supermarket.
Right.
I think CVS. Right, on my way to rehearsal with this band, Adrian H. and the Wounds, up in Portland. We had a gig.
Right.
And I heard that and I thought, I could really imagine doing a really different version of that song with this band, The Wounds.
And who imagined Sasha Gray in spray-on red latex running through the streets of Portland when it's freezing cold?
That would have been me.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be spray-on, but we ran into some bumps along the way, and we just said, latex paint. This is a great solution.
Yeah, paint on.
When you
spray-on latex, there's a few bumps. You got to smooth it out. it's mic on? Yeah, I know these things.
It was fine until the very end. I didn't think about this, and then... Nobody did. It was actually a really fun shoot. It was a very long day, of course, because you shot everything in one
very
day.
Very long day, and it was very cold, and you were a trooper and a consummate professional.
So
you never whined.
Whining's for bitches.
Right. Did you whine, David?
I whined all the time, inconsolably.
Go ahead, yeah.
No, sorry, but at the end of the night, we had one last shot on a, like over a bridge or something, and then the makeup artist looks at everybody and she says, this is it. I guess I can go home, right? And everybody's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Take off. So we get back to the hotel and I realize I have nobody to help me scrub this shit off. Liquid latex adheres like... Oh, I did everything. I was flapping like a dead fish in the bathtub like, get this off of me. So needless to say, I think I flew home with some red latex on my body.
On your bum.
Sasha, if you ever need anybody to scrub red latex off of you...
I was waiting for that.
Here's my card.
I left that open-ended
there you go. There's my card.
Reason.
Yes. Dark Mark, I know your boyfriend's there, but just, you know, I want to help her out. I don't want to be on the plane with red latex. God, I wish I had all night with you guys. I'm so honored that both of you came by, and we're almost out of time. We don't even have time for the spank train. I was going to spank both of you, but... Sasha, you have our tradition on the show is we all spank each other, and we can do that if you guys want. But before we do, you've got a movie coming out with Elijah Wood where he stalks you?
Sure, you can say that. It's a movie called Open Windows, directed by Nacho Vigalondo. It's a Spanish, he's a Spanish filmmaker. He shot in Madrid.
I figured.
He could be Mexican. I mean, come on.
Okay, so what does that open?
It should be out at the end of summer or early fall. I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to Spain probably in June.
I love Spain. What part?
Madrid.
Nice.
And David J., if people want to get a hold of you and order the great new album, An Eclipse of Ships, I love it.
Thank you.
iTunes.
Thank you. Yeah.
DavidJ.com.
They can go directly to DavidJOnline.com.
Are you starting tour soon?
We just did a short one.
Yeah,
we were at the Los Globos show. It was it was standing room only. You couldn't have got in, but it was a good show. It was a terrific show.
Lynchian, you said.
It was very Lynchian. It was so weird. It's the weirdest show. I got to tell you after the show because we're almost out of time. And Sasha Gray, David J., I'm so honored that you came on my show. I'm a big fan of both of you. Please, you're welcome to come in the studio anytime. Next week is Josie Cat's birthday show.
Yay. Yeah.
So everybody can wish Josie Cat a happy birthday. Happy birthday to Jeff at Damatees.com. He's got some ideas for Sasha Gray shirts if you're interested. He definitely wants to.
Everybody does.
I'll bet they do. Anyway, everybody, I can't believe I'm in the studio with Sasha Gray and David J. and Josie Katz. Thank you so much. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Doc Mark.
Thanks.
Motherfuckers, if you a jealous motherfucker, you just a weak motherfucker. See, when you on top, motherfuckers just wanna bring you down. Motherfuckers don't even know
I dream filthy, my mom's and pops mix me with Jamaican rum and whiskey. What a set off, shouldn't have pushed them dead off. Wipe the sweat off, cause in this world I'm dead off. Squeeze let off, then sped off. Ain't no shook hands in Brooklyn. Army fatigue, bring fatigue to enemies. Look man, you wanna see me locked up, shot up. Mom's crotched up over the casket, screaming bastard. Crying, know my friends is lying. Y'all know who killed them, filled them with the Lucas from their Rukas or their desert. Dying ain't the shit, but it's pleasant. Kinda quiet, watch my niggas bring the riot. Giving cats the opposite of diets. You gain 30 pounds when you die, no lie. Lazy eye, I was high when they hit me. Took a few cats with me, shit, I need the company. Apologies in order to Tiana, my daughter. If it was up to me, you would be with me. Sorta like Daddy Dearest, my vision be the clearest. Silences so you can't hear it. Competition still fearing. Shit, don't ask me. I went from ashy to nasty to classy and still.
That's not all. MCs have the gall to pray and pray for my downfall. Pray and pray for my downfall. Pray and pray for my downfall.
This goes out to cats. Fingers in the ass again. $50 half a man. Daydreaming. Fuck around. Get wet like semen. Your whole team. Be more gone to free me. I took the cream, moved to new places, new faces, fuck the screw faces, cause when I flip, I make the papers. Dangerous, we good fellas. Niggas can't bang with us, try to do me. My crew be unruly, so old school cats, they call gats toolies, call blacks moolies, think it's cool to smoke boolies, and fuck without rubbers. Specialize in killing wives and grandmothers. Who you trusting? Shit. When Frank start busting, Frank start something. Killing you gently. God meant me to push a Bentley. Me and Sean Combs taking broads home. On the phone with the chip. These Cristal chicks. About to make our own porno flicks. My life's the shit.
That's not all. MCs have the goal to pray and pray for my downfall. Pray and pray for my downfall. Pray and pray for my downfall.
Hold the gold, now we floss with diamonds. Niggas want my team to stop shining. Pray my fame start declining. Whining like girlies, we've been around the world twice. All we got is more ice and more nice. Sacrifice your heart, Lexus with the automatic start. 50 shots to tear your club apart. Eating shrimp a la carte with some bitches from Brussels. Eating clams and mussels. Ella, octopus, pretty face, no waste. I just want the bush so I can mack it. Give her a package to push, cause I work them hoes, bend their hoes. I show you how to play them hoes. Can you just visualize it? Before I go to sleep, I check the beds in the closet so I can sleep safe. Not too many keep a meal in the briefcase. Infrareds help me sleep safe, but wait.
That's not all.
down.